inside, walk outside, go to chapel. And this one morning I walked outside, and I was kind of dressed for chapel, really not thinking much about it. Walked outside, took two steps down the stairs from our dorm, and man, faster than I could blink my eyes, I was flat on my back, on the ground, on the ice. And it hurt. I was taken unaware. You do not want to be taken unaware when it comes to these attacks that Satan brings to our lives. And so you know what? The Bible gives us all of these evidences, all these truths about the enemy, and we're going to go over them. It's not a very happy message, but I'll tell you what, it's a message where we can get prepared to understand more of the tactics of the enemy. The truth is, you and I are in a spiritual battle. Today, we're in a spiritual battle. I don't know how you've felt this week. I don't know the kind of things that you've been facing this week. I don't know if it has been difficult for you. But the Bible tells us we're in a spiritual battle. Now, if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you belong to God. You belong to Christ. And Satan cannot win the victory over you. But he can throw black ice under your feet. You know, he can trip you up. He can cause you to experience pain. The enemy can cause you to be discouraged, to be confused. The enemy can bring fear. And we need to be prepared. We need to know the tactics of the enemy so that as we're walking along in this life, that we have hope and we keep victory in our hearts and minds. So, knowing the enemy's tactics. Ephesians chapter 6, this is the scripture. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Now, why in the world would you have to do that? Because you are in battle. "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil." Now, understand this. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not this realm that brings the most powerful attacks against us. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm, Paul is saying. I really appreciated this writer. It's a woman who writes for Crosswalk Ministries. She writes this: "Everyone, every day, faces the adversary. We're in a battle in this world. We may not see it. We might forget it's there, but the enemy would love nothing more than to cause discouragement and defeat, bringing fear and stress into your life. Don't let him win. Remember that Christ defeated Satan on the cross." Colossians 2 tells us that. If you're a believer, you won't go for long without encountering spiritual warfare. Obstacles and attacks he'll hurl your direction. God reminds us in his word to stay aware of Satan's schemes, to live alert in this world, and to stay close to the Lord. He arms us, talking about the Lord, he arms us with the sword, the word of God, to stand against the enemy's lies. He equips us with strength, wisdom, and discernment through his own spirit to stay strong in the spiritual warfare battle. He invites us to spend time in his presence through prayer and worship, pressing in to know him more. As we grow to know God's truth and what is real, we also know more what is false. And we are stronger to stand against it in the powerful name of Jesus. He never leaves us to fend for ourselves. Isn't that a good word? That God never leaves us to fend for ourselves. I lost my place. In a dark world. Leaves for ourselves in a dark world. But reminds us that he is constantly with us, fighting for us, even when we cannot see. So in 1 John 5, verse 19, John just records this. He says, we know that we are of God. And so that's, we're on the victory side. Thank you, God, for that. We know that we are on God's side. And the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And so we have this whole unbelieving world, and you see the evidence of it everywhere you look. You see people that are rejecting Christ, and they're living for Satan. And you know, we hate to be so bold and to say that if a person doesn't have Christ, that they're in Satan's camp. But that's how God describes it. You either belong to the Lord or you don't. So 1 John says, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Now, in Christ, believers are victorious against the enemy. Just look at these verses. In 1 John 3, it says, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. We know that's true. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, or was made known, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And praise God for that, that Satan has won that victory. He has destroyed the works of the devil. In 1 Peter 5, it says, be sober, be vigilant. Don't be caught off guard. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And I'll tell you, there are times where you feel like you're being devoured. And the scripture says, take heart. I am with you. I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I will be with you to give you strength. My spirit is in you. Take heart. In James chapter 4, verse 7, speaking about these things, it says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And I would like to just say, those two things are really important. Submit to God and resist the devil. And I think, how can the devil come into our space? And what do we need to do to resist him? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he, the devil, will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And I just wrote, be single-minded. Be single-minded toward Christ. So we've got these verses that talk about the reality of Satan and talk about how Christ has defeated him. And then secondly, things we need to do in our walk with God to draw near to God. It's really important. Let me just look at the last verse of James chapter 4, verse 7. If you go back just a second. No, I'm sorry. Right there. Okay. It says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, you double-minded, and be single-minded. You know, when Paul is writing, and I'd like to preach more about this at another time, when he's saying, put on the armor of God, and then he says, hold in your hand the shield of faith. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. There are two parts to that, at least that I see. One is that when you receive Christ, you are holding up the shield of faith. You're putting on the breastplate of righteousness. You are believing the truth. And so there is a position in which you stand that you're believing those things, but then there's a walk in which you live. And sometimes we want to stand in Christ and say, I'm saved. But when it comes to our behavior, we're not quite as diligent. And so in the last part of this verse, it says, draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands. So what could that mean? Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Someone actually prayed, either in this group this morning or earlier in Sunday school. And when it comes to this, cleanse your hands has to do with what we do with our hands now. Purify your hearts, what we do with our heart now. Because if we're dabbling in worldly stuff and we're dabbling in mentally, we're thinking worldly things, we're going to struggle. We're going to invite the enemy in to cause bigger problems in our lives. So resist the devil. Stand firm in him. Submit to God. And as you resist the devil, he will flee from you. Okay, just a few scriptures to take a look at. It's interesting when Jesus, in the next slide, when Jesus was praying and he's teaching his disciples and his people there to pray, he recognized the spiritual battle. And he goes through the whole prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And then he gets to this part and he says, "Do not lead us into temptation." Now we know that God does not lead us into temptation. And then he says, "And deliver us from" what? From evil. And some of your versions say, "From the evil one." And I am so glad that in my life that the Bible says Christ is interceding for me. And Christ is interceding for you. He is pleading to the Father on your behalf. And I'm glad. And he says to us these words, "Deliver us from the evil one." So do we indeed have an enemy? I would just like to read you these words from Revelation chapter 12. And would you just hear John's description of the enemy? And I'd like you to pick out as many words that describe Satan the way John described it here. Check this out. It says, war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I have, when I was reading about this verse, just the idea that there is so much description about eternity past and the present and what Satan is called and what he does, that he is called the deceiver and the accuser. They were cast out with him. It says, "Then I heard a voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come." And we're talking about Christ the victor. It says, "For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives even to the death." It means that these believers were willing to even die for their faith. Can you see all this description of Satan? And you can also see the names and the character that Satan is ascribed in this passage. He is the accuser. He's the deceiver. He is the serpent of old. He is Satan and the devil. And you just, all of these titles and all these words and all these names are for the same being. And that is for Satan, who is cast out of heaven. And so, you know, I guess it's an honest question to say, is there an enemy or not? Is there really a devil? Is there really the adversary that causes trouble, that wants us to doubt God, wants us to fall away from our faith and trust in God, wants to deceive the nation so they don't believe? As far as the Bible is concerned, there is absolutely an enemy. There is no doubt. Jesus spoke to him, and Jesus prayed against him. You remember in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus is just beginning his ministry, and he went out into the desert. Do you remember that? He went out into the desert, and he said that he would be tested. And then what did Satan do? He started throwing accusations and false statements to him. And made him an offer or two. And how did Jesus respond? With Scripture. He responded with Scripture. "You shall worship the Lord God only. Him only shall you serve." Okay, so again, the devil is a schemer, which means secret or underhanded plans. He's like the black ice outside my dorm room. His job is to trip you up. And deceivers, when they are deceiving you, often you don't know it. You don't know that you're being deceived. You're being sucked into something. And that's what Satan's really good at. The devil is a schemer. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sake in the presence of Christ. That just gives a little context. Look at this next phrase. So forgiveness is given so that, it says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And I just want to say, you know, in the idea of knowing the enemy's tactics, God's word says that we are not ignorant of his devices. Don't be ignorant of his devices. What are the avenues that the enemy can come in and bring discouragement to you? Yeah. Yeah. So many things. Ways the enemy can take advantage. And it says, we are not ignorant. So today, my goal is to make us less ignorant about Satan's devices. So here we go. Satan is a liar and the father of lies. Probably the most prominent one that Scripture tells us. In John 8, it says, you are the father. Excuse me. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. And these wonderful religious guys are not believers in the Messiah. And Jesus is saying something that's describing the Pharisees at that time. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Jesus says, because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. And it's interesting. What did the Pharisees want to do to Jesus? Kill him. They want to kill him. Take him out. Discern between truth and lies. Know the truth, so when the devil lies to you, you will not be deceived. Okay? Know the truth. The second thing, Satan presents counterfeit truth and messages. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. Paul is actually saying, I'm concerned for you people. You have heard about the simplicity of Christ, that Jesus came, that he is the Messiah, he's the Son of God, he is God in the flesh, and that he died on the cross and that he rose again. That is the simplicity of Christ. The gospel are those things. And he says to the people here in Corinth, I am concerned that if somebody comes and they preach Jesus, another description of Jesus, that you guys are going to be sucked into that. And Paul says, don't do that. Know the pure gospel. You know Ephesians 2, 8, 9. It says, for by grace we have been saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's not of works, lest any man should boast, right? And so we are saved purely by the grace of God. And that's, again, part of the pure gospel. Don't accept false teaching, even though it may seem harmless. The Bible tells us that salvation is in Christ alone. Christ alone. And we may think, well, that's not a big deal. Well, it is a big deal because many, many people who promote themselves as being very religious and being very spiritual believe in many, many other things, a whole variety of things that people believe in and trust in to be saved. Paul says, know the pure gospel. Don't accept false teaching. So first of all, Satan is a liar. Second of all, Satan presents counterfeit truth and messages. The third thing, Satan blinds the minds of the unbelievers. So Satan blinds people. 2 Corinthians 4 says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age, which is a name for Satan, has blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, your bondservants for Jesus' sake. People can be religious. They can be spiritual. They can be busy. They can be involved in good things. Yet the devil can blind them from the simple gospel, Christ's gospel. We must diligently pray for people and to see the truth and believe Christ. And that's really, I think, one of our strongest weapons, one of our strongest ways to help people come to know Christ is simply by praying for them. Pray that God will remove the blinders and they'll stop believing the lie. The next is Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. And a number of these things dovetail in their kind of the thought behind them, but Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So what does that mean in essence? What is he trying to do? Yep, trying to deceive, trying to trick you, trying to say, hey, follow me, come this way, you know? The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 11, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, and in that case, ministers are the ones who are following the false teachers, these servants of the false teachers, also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness whose end will be according to their work. Now, it's interesting. He says, as ministers of righteousness. So they're showing like they're doing the right stuff. They're showing like they're trying to be godly or like good people. He says, don't be deceived. Satan disguises himself like an angel of light. And you know, it's interesting. We're talking about all the rough things and the true things and the scary things about Satan. But God just says, if we will stick to the simple gospel of Christ, we'll see where those other people and ministers are wrong. We'll see where those other people are wrong in their belief. You just stick to the simple gospel of Christ, and if it varies from that, you know the truth. So Satan and his host can appear good and righteous, but their purpose is to deceive. And the Bible tells us, be discerning. The next one, Satan shows power, signs, and wonders. In 2 Thessalonians, and by the way, this is pretty amazing, and I've met people who are caught up in this, that Satan shows power, signs, and wonders. 2 Thessalonians 2 says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And we've had a number of discussions about that verse. The last part says that they may be saved. People just simply reject the truth. They just reject the simple gospel. And they're really caught up in all these phenomenal things. There are a lot of books being written right now. there are a lot of books about extraterrestrials and UFOs and all this amazing phenomenon, and they just capture people's attention, and people give their time and attention and their money to those things. And actually, the same test always works. Just stick to the simple gospel of Christ. So, these lying wonders and signs and powers and so on, the occult, the extraterrestrial, the phenomenal, future powerful signs and wonders are the devil's lies to deceive. Called unrighteous deception to keep people from Christ. Oh, how people get caught up in everything but Christ. People must love the truth of Christ and forsake the lies of the devil. So the devil can do signs and wonders. The next thing, Satan tempts people to sin. You know, the devil tried this on Jesus in Matthew 4. We already kind of talked about that a little bit when he took him out into the desert. Satan offered Jesus tempting benefits if only he would bow down and worship him. Remember Jesus saying that to Jesus? If you'll just bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these things. And I remember being really young and thinking, why would Jesus want what he already made? Why would he want what he already had? You know, Satan was like, he had this great big thing to offer Jesus. And Jesus is like, yeah, I remember when I made that. You know, he says, all the kingdoms of this earth you can have if you'll just bow down and worship me. Yep. And then Jesus answered the devil with the words of Scripture, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Satan also tempted Judas in Luke chapter 22. And you know what the outcome of that was. And Paul warns against this for all believers. Paul says, I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. So Satan tempts people to sin. Now, I just was blessed by this regarding temptation. Billy Graham said, the most important thing for you to remember is that God never tempts us to do anything wrong. The devil tempts us to do wrong, and so does our own sinful human nature, but not God. The Bible says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But it is true that God tests us. That is, he allows us to get into situations where we must make a choice between right and wrong. Have you experienced that? Sure. Remember, at the beginning of his ministry, Jesus was tempted by the devil to abandon the mission God had given him. And I don't want us to get tempted to abandon the mission God has put in our souls. And God allowed that test to happen. But Jesus passed the test by confronting the devil's lies with the truth of God's word. And so must we. Now, the next way Satan, one of his tactics is to pluck the word out of people's minds and hearts. You might remember the story where Jesus is telling the parable. He's talking about the sowing of the seed, right? And these are the ones Jesus is, the seed has been sown, and there are four different kinds of soil. And this is Jesus' response regarding one of the groups of seeds. These are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they, the unbelieving, hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Okay? So Satan is like, the gospel is out there. Have you maybe shared the gospel with somebody? Or you watched somebody who responded to the gospel? And then just a short time later, it's like, where'd it go? It's like, did it really take? Did that person really believe in Christ? Because look at them. They're just like they've never even heard the gospel before. In that same way, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, for in fact, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation, just as it happened, and you know. For this reason, I could no longer endure it. I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor might have been in vain. And so Paul is actually, he's feeling this feeling of remorse that, man, they preached the gospel and people heard it, the good news, the simple news of Christ, and you heard it. Now I just want to know about your faith. Is it growing or did we preach in vain? Have you fallen away? Has maybe Satan plucked the word out of the people's minds and hearts? The devil wants to steal or hinder our faith in Christ. Romans 10:17 says what? It says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the truth of God. The next one is Satan is cunning. He is cunning, creating doubt in God and faith. Sometimes I write my titles and I have to jam them into just a few words here, but the bottom line is Satan is a cunning person, a cunning being, creating in us doubt in God and in our faith. It's what he did to Eve in the very beginning. Chapter 3 of Genesis, it says, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden? And there are many times where Satan may bring doubting and question in our mind. Did God really say that? You all right? Did God really say that? And Satan throws those thoughts of doubt into our mind. And they can come from many different directions. In Revelation 12, it says, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. And he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So, just kind of my concluding thoughts, the devil cannot steal our salvation. Praise God for that. The devil cannot steal our salvation. Romans 8, 38 and 39 says, nothing can snatch you from the love of God. But he can cunningly cause us to doubt and question God. And I think if we're honest, we've all doubted and questioned God sometime along the way. Paul tells us to stand, having girded your waist with truth. Truth of the gospel, truth in situations, truth in following Jesus. Have your loins girded with truth. I got to church this morning, and I realized in my flurry to get ready, I forgot to put my belt on. So I'm constantly pulling up my pants. When you're girded with truth, when you have a belt snugly fit around you, girded with truth, things stay together. And when they don't, they fall apart or fall down. Yeah, we'll not visualize that, okay? Yeah, all right. All right. So I'm just going to tell you the titles of the next ones because we need to go eat lunch. Satan can cause sickness or disease. Satan is not the only cause of sickness and disease, but he can cause sickness and disease. Go ahead and go to the next slide, if you would, Mike. There's a lot to be said about that, and I'd like to talk about that. We'll do that after Easter. The next thing is Satan is a murderer. And we see clear examples of that in Scripture. Jesus says in John 8, he was a murderer from the beginning. Moses, in describing Cain and Abel, basically, 1 John says, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. Why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Cain was in the clutches of Satan. The next one is Satan can stand against mission work. You probably heard about that, spiritual warfare on the mission field. Paul said, you know, we wanted to come to you, but Satan hindered us. And then Satan makes accusations against believers. And those accusations can come directly from him. They can come through other people, that Satan stirs up accusations against God's people. So Satan's schemes are treacherous, if you go right there. But he does not win. Praise God. The battle belongs to the Lord. 1 John 3:8 says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." In Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, toward the bottom there, it says, "And Christ has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers." When we think about knowing the tactics of the enemy, and it says that Satan was disarmed, that's a really good word picture. That he has disarmed principalities and powers and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it, which is in the cross. So, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. God says through Paul, be aware, stay alert, submit to God's authority. Be ruthless with sin, which is an open door for the enemy to work. Resist him, and he has to flee. Know that in Christ we are forgiven. You are set free. You have his mighty power working within you. You are more than a conqueror through Christ who loves us. Put on the armor. Daily pray. Take up the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is our only offensive weapon. And know that Christ is for you. He is with you. The enemy does not have the final say-so over your life. God fights for you, even in times you're unaware. He's always working on your behalf, often behind the scenes where you cannot see, and the enemy's plans will be crushed. Keep living aware. Keep standing strong. You are never alone. Finally, the scripture says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Remember that greater is he who's in you than he who is in the world. Thank you, God. It reminded me of that verse in the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." And Mike and the team are going to come up and remember these words, "Though Satan should buffet," that's a warfare, "though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul." So I hope that you both have instruction about who Satan is and how his tactics work. And you also know that you are a victor in Christ, that God is with us. Would you pray with me? God, I thank you that Scripture is clear about both the victory we have in Christ and the enemy that we face. God, thank you that you are the victor and that Christ has been defeated, eternally defeated. And yet he has been given reign to some degree on this earth and has caused and causes great confusion and pain for both unbelievers and believers. God, I thank you. I thank you that you are a powerful Savior and God. We belong to you and we are victors in Christ. Father, we pray that when we are attacked or deceived or caused to fear, that our minds would go back to the truth of who we are in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. And we are dismissed. Let's eat.